Hello and welcome to the DigiNable podcast. It's that time of the year again. Well, it's that time of the year where we just start thinking about not doing work.
Really, I know, it's ramping up to the C word now. People haven't actually talked about that much yet. But what does that C word stand for?
Consistency. And that's why. I tell you what, I did a business meeting the other day and I did like my 60-second stand-up pitch at the beginning. That's exactly the pitch that I used, because when you get the prints around the room, obviously talking about Christmas, get your cards printed, get your stuff printed, get your wall planners going out to people. Wall planners, I've seen more of them popping up again this year. Very cool. Do you remember, this is going back years ago, when we used to work in the radio sector?
Yes.
And there was a supplier that used to put out a yearly wall planner. Yes. And I remember you. Yes. It was like Christmas before Christmas.
Yes. And you know what? They send me an email every year and I say, yes, please, I'll have the wall planner. It's called Camford Audio. Big up for them. Still love them. They still send me emails. As much as I don't spend that much with them anymore, versus, you know, the thousands and thousands of pounds I used to spend with them, they still bless them, ask me if I want a catalogue for the year and the 2025 wall planner. And I have said yes, and I have filled in my details. And at some point, it will be like it's a little magic Christmas day again when I get my free wall planner from them for the year.
And it does feel like it's the only thing that gets delivered now that still comes in one of those long rolled up cardboard tubes.
I have a feeling it might be a folded up A4 style shape because it's with a catalogue now.
Screw them. Don't want it. So it has to come in a roll.
Well,
it's the one thing, actually, I think. So Christmas is a good time. It's an interesting time. It's time to do good things, time to spend with family. But it's also, it's a stressful time and it's a hard time for a lot of people. Yeah. And you have to kind of find these little bits of joy and success where you can. And I find for me, the biggest thing is odd-shaped parcels, which you don't get any other time of the year.
True.
Rest of the year, stuff comes in boxes. Simple as that. But when it comes to Christmas, you get balls sent through the post, cracker-shaped being sent through the post.
Yeah,
genuinely feel for
that's
the postman. And I don't know whether, you know, Santa, bless him, the way he gets all those odd-shaped parcels into one sack is completely beyond me.
That's true.
I see our Royal Mail postman and he just looks like
struggles.
He's had a shitty day.
True.
Really, really hard work as well.
Yeah.
So I was at my business network meeting and I kind of did the whole thing of the C word is coming. But then I talked about consistency, because the big thing that Christmas seems to bring for a lot of businesses is a bit of a stop-start nature to their business.
Yeah.
We take a few days off over Christmas. We have a bit of another break for the new year. We take time off because of all the parties and celebrations and stuff we have to go to.
Yeah.
So how do you ensure that in those times your business still has a level of consistency?
Yeah.
Automation.
Oh, there was a subtle link there somewhere.
You know what? I was so proud of myself. So proud of myself that
Ta-da!
Moment.
Is that possibly how we might be able to help people there? I know, go figure.
But you know, it's one of those moments where I actually look around the room and you almost kind of like, you know when you say something or you drop an end of a sentence, and it's almost like you expect like an old 90s teen film that everybody to stop and give you a round of applause. No one cared.
No.
Genuinely no one cared, but I was proud of myself and I had a little round of applause on the inside.
Oh, bless you.
But it is interesting going out and talking to businesses about automation at the moment, because obviously the conversation is still very much around automation, AI, processing, all these different things. And more businesses now are either getting it and getting there, or becoming more inquisitive about what AI and automation can actually do for their business. It's a very exciting time, because obviously what we get to do is when someone comes to us with a desire of something they'd like to achieve for their business, it's our job to make that happen and kind of plan it out. And that's quite a cool thing to be involved in.
Definitely. I mean, on our software side, we can kind of set up the automations and some of the systems for people. On the training side, we're seeing more and more, like, people have had an idea of playing around with AI, had a bit of a concept, had a bit of a trial and error, and now they're at that point, and they're like, right, well, we get it could be helpful, but we don't quite know how it can work for us. And so we've been doing, especially the past 6 months this year, a heavy focus on bespoke content for whatever that means to that particular organisation and business. And I don't see that changing, you know. I think as we look forwards to our top three things for boosting business in 2025, because that's kind of our theme instead of our three things that have attracted our attention this time, we're going to focus on, right, what is important for 2025? And AI is definitely still top of that list, be it for your automations, be it for speeding up some of your processes. even, you know, I was running a session today and we were talking about content marketing. You might not get a tool like an AI tool or a you know, something like ChatGPT and NLP to write it for you, because actually you want that to be from you and your voice. But just as an idea starter, you know, like I can look at a blank word document and go, ugh, don't even know where to start. And those sorts of AI tools can really help us with the kind of the ideas process, the prompt. Like it might be that you don't automate anything, but you just use it to be an ideas generator for those times when you're just not really feeling up to it.
Yeah, and I think where people are going to spend a lot of time, actually I don't think I know because I'm having these conversations, is that I think people are starting, I think now, it seems a default. People are starting to realise that it's not just about ChatGPT.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
there's so many other programs out there that incorporate AI into what they do. Canva has a really nice AI engine built into it. CanConnect, our software, has a really nice AI aspect to it. And one of the things that we're going to be looking at over the next few months is an AI virtual assistant that'll be able to answer phone calls, have conversations, respond to emails on your behalf. Obviously, nice. Like anything AI related, the quality of what you put in dictates the quality of what comes out.
Yeah.
But we're seeing this across the board now. Microsoft 365 and their AI engine is getting more and more intelligent. And just these little applications where people see it make their life easier. So obviously, I have the work that I do with DigiEnable and Can Do Leads. I also run a charity at my local football club, the Community Foundation. We had our meeting the other night, our kind of quarterly get-together of trustees. And what normally happens at the end of that meeting is that we've taken notes, we go away, someone writes minutes, they email out to everyone, and that's a kind of 7 to 10 day process.
Yeah.
What we did a little bit differently this time is we actually just recorded the meeting, put an audio recorder in the middle of the meeting.
Super.
We then fed that into a computer, so it actually sort of uploaded the audio, it transcribed it and pulled the information out, threw that information into an AI engine and said, please summarize this meeting for me.
Nice.
It produced action notes within about 12 minutes of the meeting coming
Brilliant,
to an end.
Yeah.
And that's not about AI dictating the creative process and taking
absolutely.
Away from humans, but especially for a charity where actually our remit is to find new ways to support people, to apply for funding, to be able to go out and benefit people's lives. That saved me / someone a week.
Hours and hours. And that's it. And if that's not your wheelhouse or, you know, your kind of specific job, like that, you know, you're taking longer than someone professional doing it would be as well.
Absolutely. So don't just think of AI in terms of creating content and social media, although it certainly does have a role within that. But just think of it about how it can save you time and processes. If you've got a task within your office which you think could be automated to an extent, come and have a talk to us. Because even if it's not a relationship that involves you paying for our time, you know, we've got lots of bit of advice like this where we can just say to you, try this, give
Absolutely.
It a go. And you know, that extra 4 or 5 hours a week that you get back because something else is doing the work on your behalf, that can be spent in so many better ways.
Definitely. And I think, you know, it's not just us saying that. I think there's the, you know, the big boys of the industries of the digital world as well, putting the money into it as well. Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who owns Meta, which is like Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, all of those, he's taking over the world. He's spent $160 million in 2024 so far, you know, time of going to press. And he said recently, AI has had a positive impact on nearly all aspects of our work. So, you know, yes, they're a massive company. Yes, they've got lots of staff to help them out. Yes, they're, you know, maybe further on in terms of digital understanding than most of us might be. But if he's invested in it and said he's going to continue to invest in it for, you know, at least the next year, you know, he's seeing that as an investment, I think. That's something that's not going to go away. And if you don't at least try and look at how AI could be a help within your organisation or business or personal life, to be honest as well, you know, projects and things that you might be working on, I think you're really going to be missing trick in 2025.
Well, I think people and AI are going to have to get smarter, aren't they? Because you're right, Facebook is investing a lot across their platforms. Even now when you log in and you go to post, the first thing it'll ask you is, do you want assistance in terms of an AI generator? And the platforms that embrace that are only going to get bigger. Facebook is still massive and constantly growing. LinkedIn is obviously on the rise all the time as well. Although I'm still never 100% convinced by LinkedIn, because every flock of graduates every year that are encouraged to develop a LinkedIn profile will do so. So the numbers are going to naturally increase. That doesn't necessarily mean the active users.
That's a good point. I mean, 66% LinkedIn's got 66% of the market share of active users. So maybe the numbers don't necessarily stack up when you look at how much, total users. And there's loads of stats out there, isn't there? But, you know, I always see new content on LinkedIn by new people. So I think, you know, people are using it. I think it's because it's got its niche, hasn't it? There's only 6% of people around the world that use it to find their news. So it's more about connecting, app and building relationships, which makes sense because if it's selling itself as kind of a business social media platform, we are, you know, connecting, building business relationships, having conversations around business. There's definitely a focus for it. I don't think it's ever going to go away because I'd never really post something businessy related on my Facebook page. So there is still a reason for having the different platforms that there are, as much as they all seem to be doing the same sorts of features these days as well.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, things will always develop, and that's driven by competition. So Facebook wants to be that number one place for search. LinkedIn wants to be that number one place for business. And they're always, as much as it's not a social media platform, going to be competing with Google, because that's still where the vast majority of traffic goes. You know, even now, Google have been doing this for a while now, and it's very hard to avoid. We've always referred to a long time about position zero within Google. And when we've done it in the past, we've talked about that from a maps perspective. If you can get yourself listed high on the maps, you're position zero because you're top of page one. But actually, if you now go on Google and you type in a search, you'll notice that maps are no longer at the top of the listings.
Yeah.
It's now AI.
It is.
So Google's own AI system is on your behalf, scanning the top results, trying to find the answer, and then presenting that directly to people at the very top of the listings. So if you can effectively use snippets within your content, if you can give useful information-based answers within your web pages and your profiles, that's now going to help you get to the top of Google and be listed as the reference when they tell you where the information came from, which again is going to drive more business to your website. So we take another slightly nuanced turn here when it comes to SEO and business optimization. Now, not only are you writing for SEO and writing for the customer, you're also writing for AI and trying to understand those signals of what AI is looking for to be able to pick that stuff up.
And I think it's really interesting recently because, yes, you know, we've offered SEO as a service over the years. We don't anymore, but, you know, we kind of, we know how to do it if we wanted to. And, you know, we've always done SEO training since DigiEnable started up because, you know, 15 years ago, people were talking about Google and SEO as being, you know, the way to get your content marketing out there. And, you know, just this week, I've run another content marketing session. People are interested in creating content again in different ways. And it feels like SEO, now the AI has been coming in, now we're using search engines in different ways, that people are suddenly interested in the more strategic side of SEO again. So the organic, natural stuff, yes, about the paid-for adverts, but really thinking about how can my old website be updated without spending too much money. But equally, like, what sort of stuff are we putting on the website that means that you are going to rank highly, you are going to be at that zero position, you know, and as you say, if AI is going to pick us up, even better, because it's going to be one of those top, zero place rankings that means that we're more likely to look at the content inside something that's just been written by, you know, Google, Gemini or Bard.
Absolutely. It is going to be an interesting time. And I think 2025, which still feels quite strange to say, is going to be a big, big year for AI because it feels like almost everyone has adopted it already, but it's just going to have to get smarter. I know we were having a conversation with a couple of clients the other day. We just end up being in the same place and the conversation inevitably does turn to AI. And we're saying those little nuances of AI is like, if you see a little rocket emoji on the post, you 100% know that ChatGPT has written that.
Yeah, please don't put rocket emojis in your social media posts because it is dead obvious. Even if you didn't write it with ChatGPT, it makes it look like it's been written with ChatGPT. ChatGPT, for some reason, has this, like, OTT love about the rocket emoji, and he gets stuck with it and fascinated with it. So take them all out, because if you see a rocket emoji, you just think ChatGPT's written it now.
Yeah. I was going to say, and actually, wait, it's a good reminder to people. So I kind of hope to an extent that ChatGPT always continues to include that rocket emoji, because the more we realise that that's an indication of we've kind of just taken something from somewhere and posted it to someone else, it's going to force us into seeing AI as a starting point.
Yeah, true.
And you should go in and you should change the emojis or delete the emojis completely and then change the text. Because, as you said, if you're looking for inspiration, if you're looking for ideas, it's an amazing platform to be able to utilise. Yeah. But please do make it your own, because the whole idea of social media and the whole idea of business marketing is about connections and relationships. And you're not going to do that with AI churned out content, but it's a great place to start.
Absolutely. I explain it as it's just another tool in your toolbox. It's not going to solve everything for you. It's not going to create everything for you, but it's going to be one of the tools that you use in that creation process.
I just wonder now whether it's going to make my life easier. If we get to the point where we're writing Christmas cards and sending them out this year, that I just put people's... I can upload an Excel sheet of all people's names and just ask AI to personalise the messages for the Christmas cards.
But then you've not handwritten it, though, have you?
Well, no, I've not handwritten them. I can run for a printer or get a stamp made. That'd be amazing. A stamp message that I can stick in every single one. But I can also see that...
I mean, that's like an idea from like 50 years ago, you know?
Traditions and innovation. Okay. It's about bringing the two things together.
Okay, not convinced.
But we're going to have some amazing messages that'll be along the lines of, I hope you had an amazing 2024, and I hope you have an even more incredible rocket emoji 2025. Every single Christmas card.
Just stick rocket emoji stickers on everything now, and it'll be ideal.
But it's an interesting time for marketing as a whole, because it is getting more challenging. The marketplace is getting more crowded. The social media world is getting busier. Paid marketing is still on the rise at the moment, and that's taking up more space. So your content has to be better. And this is the thing that we've been telling people now for a good couple of years, is the metrics that you're looking at should not be about quantity. You know, you might feel good if you put a social media post out there on LinkedIn and it gets seen by 20,000 people. But if none of those people interact or like with what you do, it doesn't really serve a purpose.
Yeah.
A hyper-targeted, well-written, personal, relatable messages that only reaches 200, but four of those people send you a message and say, that's interesting, we should have a conversation, that's far more powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your strategy as you're going into next year should absolutely be about, how do we really, really target the people we want to target? And ultimately, that comes down to knowing who those people are.
Yeah.
And then you can sort of speak on their behalf. But it is going to push people into having to think about this even more next year. Because if you know your audience, actually the message becomes very, very simple to write.
Definitely. And that's it, isn't it? I think if you know who your audience is, you are actually talking or writing or creating video content or whatever for that particular target audience, because that way you're going to resonate with them much better than just trying to do a one piece of content that catches all and, you know, doesn't end up hitting anyone.
And unique to every platform as well. And I see a lot of people fall foul this at the moment, where they'll put the same thing on Facebook, on Twitter, on X, on LinkedIn, and it doesn't work because the nuances are slightly differently. So looking at the different platforms you're using as a way of reaching out to people and considering other platforms. I'll tell you what really surprised me the other day is there's some platforms which we seem to have forgotten or kind of dismissed that are back up there in the moment. And I think it was one of your notes. I saw it in one of our sort of messages when we were sort of talking about what we might need to do this week. And there was just a line in there when you said, by the way, Reddit's up. People have started using Reddit more as a business tool again.
So Reddit has, for the first time in 20 years of being a platform, and let's face it, a lot of people probably don't even know what Reddit is, it's made a profit. And what was Reddit? Reddit was there before the social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter. It primarily is a blogging platform or a forum platform where people can interact on different topics. It's sort of like a channel-based, where then you can create your own content, add your own images and things. But traditionally, it was around different topics. So you would create a Reddit forum. It would have a particular topic, particular strand of conversation. And then within that, it would split down into further. And then it had a dip. It was still always around, you know, just like Facebook was always there.
It became very niche and underground, didn't it?
I think a lot of people moved away from it, but certain geeky communities were still using it. And I think where you were saying before about those smaller target audiences using other smaller platforms, that was very much where Reddit was. But Reddit's had a massive surge recently, and I have actually seen Reddit on bus poster adverts, bus stops, and I've also seen Reddit as TV adverts. So maybe that's been the prompt that have got people going, oh, what's Reddit about? Reddit sponsored, and this is where it makes it in our wheelhouse, sponsored last year Love Island, and this year as well, 2024. And they were getting people to have their conversations less in Twitter, X, and more in Reddit. So they were promoting, like, let's have these conversations. So I think those sorts of people that have been watching programs like that have then found, oh, there's loads of other topics on there as well. Reddit's always had the brand of being the front page of the internet, so always trying to choose the different topics and trends that are available, you know, that are hot at the moment. And, you know, it's always been a really useful and easy source to kind of get your idea of what's happening today. And I think people have liked that and gone back to that way, because sometimes you can be sat on a social media platform scrolling and actually not get a general overview of what's actually happening in the world online. And I think that's why people are moving maybe back to, or, you know, learning about Reddit as a platform on its own.
It's definitely one to keep your eye on. It's definitely in it for the long game, I think that's for certain.
Oh, 20 years later, absolutely.
Well, it actually reminds me, I saw a clip on TikTok the other day, and it was a kind of flashback to when Jeff Bezos was interviewed on the Jay Leno show in the late 90s.
Oh, wow, okay.
And one of the questions Jay Leno asked is, well, you know, this is amazing. You've got this amazing Amazon platform. It sells stuff. You must be an absolute millionaire now. How much has it made? And he just looked at Jay Leno and he went, oh, it's never made a profit.
Right, yeah.
Never made a profit. Yeah. And the whole audience laughed at him. And now, obviously, Amazon is worth like $27
billion in total. Yeah.
And sometimes, actually, when it comes to these social media platforms, I remember a couple of years ago, someone came to me with an idea of developing their own social media platform. And I just I encouraged them, but encouraged them in a very sort of small way to be aware that you have to be in for the long game if you think they're actually going to sort of make money.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do go in cycles. As well, as platforms become more popular, those that are looking for that more private place where they can have conversations will want to move from the most popular and go to a place that's a little bit more private. So it doesn't surprise me that Reddit's will rise up again in terms of the way people use them. But as you say, it's very much about finding your community and knowing how to speak to them, which is the message that we talk about across all different platforms.
Definitely.
So do look out for that. Definitely one to keep an eye on. In terms of developments, let's have a chat about CanConnect for a second. If you're not familiar what CanConnect is, CanConnect is the software we use within our business and we use to support our clients in their work. And we're constantly looking at new features that we can add and roll out to this. And, you know, it's a constant development. We work with people across the world to help develop this platform just to make sure we're offering you the best that we possibly can be. And the big development we've got coming in the next couple of weeks is AI-generated funnels. So if you've ever had to build your own website or your own funnel, and for exactly the reasons you talked about before of being stuck of where to start, you'll now be able to go into our software, and if you just need a free page funnel that gets people to sign up for one of your events, to give them a booking form where they can actually book into it and then create a thank you page, just in about four lines of prompts telling it exactly what you want and then clicking go, it will generate a base funnel for you within around about 3 to 4 minutes. And AI will completely create that. And then obviously, as we encourage, you go in, personalise it, brand it, make it your own. You can also upload your own brand templates if you want it to kind of be created in that brand to start off with. But it's just about helping you get started. Because what we see so often, not just with software, but with every other aspect of marketing, once you get going, it kind of makes sense. But the hardest thing is actually getting started. Kind of like back when you're at university when you had to write an essay and you'd sit there for hours staring at an empty page. But once you've got that first paragraph, then it can start to flow. So AI funnels.
Oh, very exciting.
That's the big thing that's going to be on
that
the agenda.
That sounds great.
On your side, productivity, how's things going?
So, to start 2025, we had fabulous success with our 2024 Productivity Club webinars program. So that's kind of our entry-level way of being in touch with us and learning different topics. on your productivity journey. And like you just said, you know, starting with good intentions, starting with a kickstart. I love starting new things in January. So it's a great opportunity. We finished our last live online webinar for 2024 now. So you can, if you do want to, buy all of this year's recordings. That's still available. But if you like the idea of coming joining us live with a fabulous community of people seeking to improve their productivity, to do things quicker, easier, better, increase their work-life balance. We work around our digital productivity wheel. It's got 8 spokes. We go into different details for each session. We're going to have 6 live webinars across the year, lots of different topics. Similar to last time, we're going to focus on an element each time we talk, and then that feeds into our monthly theme as well within our productivity club across all our brands and our programs. So I'll stick a link in the website link. I'll stick a link in the show notes for people to book a call with you around the AI productivity processes as well. But if you want to learn more about how to just be personally more productive for yourself, within your team, for your teams, the Productivity Club's webinar is a great place to start. We're also launching this year an Inner Circle coaching program. So there's a lot more coaching and support. So that's our kind of really bespoke and kind of enhanced package. So loads of conversations. If you want to find out more, do just get in touch and we can tell you much more about it. But you can find all the details on the usual website at productivityclub.co.uk. Front page has it all there.
Perfect. We are kind of coming to the end of the podcast. It's absolutely flown by today, but we will talk about one more thing ahead of next year. And it kind of ties in with the sort of podcast / book that we want to talk about today as well. It's been an exciting year, 2024, 25. I'm getting ahead of myself now. Lots have happened. Also, big congratulations to you, because obviously we've travelled over to Bali for you to get your CSP
yes,
Speaking Award.
Thank you.
And it was a great event. Obviously, nice to see you on stage and you know, great that accolade for the public speaking that you actually do.
Thank you very much.
But we stayed over there. We kept DigiNable in Bali for about a month after the event, just to sort of experience the country, to try working in a different way, to try working in a different place. And there's been so many conversations I've had with people since we got back, and they say to me, what was it that really stood out to you about Bali?
Okay.
And of everything I talk about, the one word I keep coming back to is calm.
Ooh,
and even though,
nice.
You know, in some ways it's not. When you're going through Ubud and you're into traffic and everyone's zipping around on scooters.
It was pretty busy.
It doesn't feel calm in the slightest. However, there is still a sort of calm, spiritual nature to the entire country.
Yeah.
And there's something that I've kind of really sort of fell in love with in terms of the place, is that you wake up in the morning and everyone has kind of made their offerings to the gods. They're out on the street. People take time out to pray. There's a very sort of pleasant nature to the whole place.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's something that we're missing in the Western world at the moment in terms of that calmness. And maybe that's what 2025 needs to be able to come about. And obviously it's your turn this time to pick the podcast book app of the month. And you've chose one that is all about trying to be more calm.
It is. It's an app. It's called A Kinder World. It's very cute. And it's created by a really small agency, really boutique, really bespoke. They've created the app. It's kind of like a bit of a mindful game. But it's very much focused on keeping that calm. And I think, you know, it's like you said, you know, the UK, the US, I think we're really stressed. I think we're really like running ourselves into the ground sometimes. We're doing too much. We're not stopping. This is an app that basically you grow little plants, little digital plants. It's very cute. There's a few little characters that you can talk to along the way. There's a few activities you have to do to be able to water the plants. So the concept is you do an activity to what they call enrich the water, and then you use your little watering can to water the plants, and then the plants grow, and you have to water the plants twice a day, morning and evening, kind of like the 80s, 90s Tamagotchis, but much cuter. And they're very clever. There's loads of upgrades you can buy. There's loads of product, digital kind of things for the home that you might have. It's a whole house. I've probably been using it maybe about a month, 2 months now, especially as like an ease back into, like you said, having that calm from being in Bali. It's a beautiful app. It's a great company that have created it. It's a really nice indie business. So it's great to check out. You can access it on iOS and Android. And you can check them out at playkinderworld.com.
Excellent. And just in terms of your experience of using it, do you find the reason why it makes you calm is because of the focus on the app, the forced multiple times a day where you have to kind of stop and just almost kind of switch off from the rest of the world while you take care of these? What is it that actually enhances the calmness?
I think I really like the environment that it creates. So you open the app and it's got like, it presents you with like a set of windows. You've got things on a chair, things on shelves. You've got your pretty plant that you're growing at the moment. And then there's this little sort of terrarium with different coloured sands. And each time you do an activity, so one of the enrichment activities might be naming your state. So you might say, I am feeling calm or grounded or stressed or whatever it is you name it. And it's part of the activity to be able to water the plants. I think spending that, I don't know, 1 minute, 2 minutes, it's really not that longer a thing to do. And then there's not that much stuff you can do in the app, so then you don't hang around too long anyway. But that couple of minutes where you're like, right, I'm going to do some square breathing, or I'm going to name my emotion or how I'm feeling, it's a way of just stopping your brain from doing whatever it was doing. It's a nice little check-in. It's a nice little pause. It's also a way of really like refreshing, you know, your mental load. So it's a great way to just sort of stop and reboot and move on. So I think that can be helpful, just, you know, whatever that thing is, you know, doing it yourself.
It's just about having something, isn't it, that kind of takes your mind off the real world. So I have a function on my watch which is called the EDA scan, and it technically kind of tells you about it. It's measuring your kind of pulse rate and stuff, but it means that you have to sit still, you have to hold on to both sides of your watch for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And the results that it comes out, I'm not convinced of how informative or how useful they are.
Yeah.
But actually, exactly as you say, that just stopping for 3 minutes and focusing on something gives you almost a little bit of a reset, ready to go again.
It is. It's like the Pomodoro technique that we talk about everywhere we go. You know, 25-minute block of time, 5-minute break. And the break is to break the mindset of things, the what you're doing, the way you're doing it, the kind of the breakout of all of that scenario into something different. So hopefully you're then with a different brain, different hat on, different scenario, and then you can start something new. And if it's just carrying on with the same thing, hopefully you've taken that step away and that's helped you refresh before carrying on and doing the same activity. So similar sorts of principles. We're taking that mind shift slightly differently.
Absolutely. So if you'd like to know more about that, check out Kinder World. It's at playkinderworld.com, and you can download the app. It'll also be in the show notes under this podcast. It's been, as I say, quite an intense year. Lots has happened, lots of successes, lots of struggles, as everyone seems to have sort of gone through as well. Yeah. But it's another year we can tick off of having completed and still being around at the end of this, ready
Absolutely.
For 2025. So wherever you're listening to this in the world, whatever you're doing right now, and we hope it's about stepping away from work for half an hour and just having something, I would say chilled out to listen to, but maybe we need to be a little bit calmer in the way we actually deliver this. We hope you've had an incredible and successful 2024, and we look forward to a profitable and a calm 2025. Have an amazing Christmas, and we'll see you all again next year.
Take care, everyone. Bye.